So here's the question. How do active people in the Des Moines area stay pain-free and live the active, fulfilled life that they deserve at any age? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. I'm Ryan Domeyer, and welcome to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Welcome back to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Dr. Ryan back here today. I have two guests with me. I have Anthony and Chris, both from Movewell, Iowa, up here in Ankeny. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
This is going to be a little different. This is my first three-person podcast interview, so I'll try to direct some questions both ways, but I want to talk all things movement. I've had a couple meetings with both of you, Anthony and Chris, up here at your guys' facility up in Ankeny, and you guys help a lot of different people, from athletes to adults, just helping people move well and move better, which is something I can relate to and something I try to do each and every day. I won't get into each of your backgrounds. Both of you have personal trained for a long time, have been in the exercise and fitness industry for a while. And without putting words in your mouth, I'll let you describe, you felt like something was missing. You've gone through a lot of continuing education and something was quite missing. Chris, why don't you start us off? Kind of what did you think was missing from training clients over the years?
Yeah, so we have combined like 23, 24 years experience personal training. We didn't talk much early on, but we both clearly came to the same conclusion that, you're trying to research everything, you're trying to do the best for your clients, you feel you're putting your best foot forward, but clients would still come in saying like, oh, I still have my back hurting, or that neck is still tight, and they're like, well, I don't understand, I'm doing all this stuff correctly, you're constantly reading and researching, putting your heart into what you're doing. And while people are still getting stronger, and that sort of thing, you're not satisfied because, right, you don't want them to walk out still with the same aches and pains and things like that. So even as personal trainers, we're like, what's out there? What can we keep looking? And actually what Anthony kind of started it off by really diving into fascia and studying the importance of that. And it's relatively new in our industry, especially for personal trainers. It's only been like, 15 years, 20 years that they're really diving in and understanding the importance of it. And so we just kind of took the lead in our gym and said, hey, what's this all about? What are we missing? How do we make it applicable to what we're doing? And the deeper we got into it, the more we saw results in ourselves and in our clients in terms of, they're moving better. Oh, that ache or that pain that has been consistent is no longer there. And so that's when we found, hey, there's really something to this and we got to make it more relevant in our community.
Yeah. And we'll certainly get into fascia a little later about what that is and how that might help people. But I came up here and went through you guys' examination progress myself, just as a learning experience of, hey, how do you guys look at movement and comparing that and contrasting that to maybe what I would do? Anthony, you took me through kind of your movement assessment, which does make you guys a little different in the fitness world of looking at resting position, whether it's posture from the front, from the side, looking at what their gait cycle or what their walking cycle looks like and how their run cycle looks like. Why don't you describe kind of what your guys, how that makes Movewell unique, how you guys do your assessments and are continually looking at and posting pictures of how people's posture and movement change over time of working with you.
Yeah, so the reason why the gait cycle is a big proponent of our training is because, right, that's one of the primary ways of us getting around. If we can't walk without pain, something's probably wrong with our body. So, yeah, when we see, when we take someone through the gait cycle, we can start seeing imbalances or dysfunctions. Maybe they're arches collapsing, so it's making the knee buckle in, which is making their hip drop, or maybe their head only gets over 1 foot, or they don't rotate one way or the other. And then by focusing on correcting these deficiencies, your body starts to become more in balance, and then aches and pains start to diminish, and you start to move better. It starts to free up areas where maybe isolating areas might fall short.
And yeah, and you started your examination just by having me stand. You looked at posture, you recorded it, and then you watched me do a squat. You watched me walk, you watch me run, and then you watch me sprint, because that's our primary locomotion. That's how humans are created, is to move and to walk most of the day. That's a big problem in our society, is a lot of people don't move enough, but getting quality movement is even more important. And the locomotion is a good place to start, because the gait cycle is something that we all do. We're supposed to do thousands of steps a day, and it seems like it's off with everyone. We're all in a cushy shoe, a big foam shoe that throws off our foot, which throws off our hip, throws off our back, and just doesn't allow us to move as well. And that's all connected through the fascial system. So we'll try to keep this as simple as we can. And I've seen you guys post about this, and certainly in my physical therapy learning as well, is thinking of the body as a system and as a unit. So Chris, I'll go back to you describing how maybe we don't have 200 plus muscles in the body. Do we have one muscle in the body and it's all connected through the fascial system? Can you explain simply, as simple as we can, how that works, how the body works as a unit together?
So again, like fascia for the longest time has been looked at as just tissue in our body, and it didn't really contribute to anything. And what we're discovering, not we, through scientific discovery, is that it is hugely important to the function of our body in both, like you say, like resting posture, you know, how we stand, but then how we walk, run, throw. So the way we try to look at it is just what you said. The muscles are all, everything's enveloped in this fascia. So from organs to muscles to bones, and it holds us in place. And when we get, we use the word compression a lot, you're going to get compressed in a certain area. And just like you're saying, if you're compressed through maybe the right side of your body, the glute's not going to fire like it's supposed to when you're walking. So then your body has to compensate in order to get to where it needs to go. And then, so what muscle are you using, or what part of the body are you using to get there? And then over time, you're wondering why the hip starts hurting or the knee starts hurting and that sort of thing. So by decompressing the body or decompressing the fascia, we're actually, just what Anthony said earlier, you're allowing yourself to float more through space, if you will, rather than feel like it's a struggle or it's hard to move. And once that happens, then it's, like I said, it's easier to move. It's easier to put on muscle and that sort of thing.
And definitely, what you're describing, I'll even kind of piggyback on what you just said, Chris, which is something I see every day, is especially people in pain, or when people have pain with movement, there's definitely some type of asymmetry going on, whether one side's compressed and we need to distract the other side, or vice versa. But that's really what you're looking for, is the asymmetry and differences from side to side, or differences of why is this not balanced. Is that what you're looking for with the compression, decompression side of it? Is that a just difference from side to side? Because I think we all have our asymmetries. We all have a right dominant hand usually. We all have a dominant foot. We all have a dominant eye, which does change how we move from day to day. Is that how you guys work around here, at least as far as looking for those asymmetries and how people move, Anthony?
Saying what Chris said, the float feeling, or the float, if you just think of the skeleton, traditionally they have the bones that just stack on top of each other. That is actually not how the bones lay in your body. They actually float in this matrix of connective tissue. So I mean, everyone's heard, if you're bone on bone, that's probably not a good thing. So what we're doing is we're using tension through specific exercises, using specific tools to create space in these joints to allow your bones to float in the web of tissues, so you're not being compressed in these joints.
Yeah, that kind of leads us to our next word that I've heard a few times being around here, is tensegrity, excuse me, which is something I practice all the time. I just have a different language around it, which almost it's common for almost every person that comes into my clinic with a knee problem. I'm like, we really need to develop your hip. Like, every person with a knee problem usually has an underdeveloped hip, hence their hip isn't strong enough to take pressure off their knee's getting all the pressure, stuff happens then. And that's essentially what you guys are describing, with the bones and muscles all working as a unit. When one thing is off, it affects all of the other systems, whether it's your leg, arm, it can affect anything if the body isn't working all as one unit. Is that a good description of how that works, or can you provide a better description for transegrity?
Tensegrity.
Yeah, you could just think of like, right, this, your body's a matrix of these tissues, your bones are floating in it, and what you want is when you're taking compression, instead of maybe one very specific part of your body is taking all this strain, your body learns to distribute the strain through the whole body. That way you're not over compressing or overworking or overdeveloping or overcompensating in that area.
So there's definitely a balance, and that was going to be my next question, is how does the body work when it comes to pushing and pulling and counterbalancing? Chris, tell me a little bit more about how you guys work with training as far as pushing and pulling to make sure the system works as a unit.
Yeah, so with fascia, you can think of it just what you said. It can either pull or press. So if it pulls too much, think of like Silly Putty or Play-Doh. If you pull, and you hold it out there for a long period of time, it's going to get droopy, break apart, and become flimsy, which obviously we don't want, because then the body's going to compensate weird. It can also get to compress or push down. Think about gravity pushing down on you. And again, if you're too compressed, then you're going to fall into different compensations where the muscles within the fascia can't lengthen and contract at its appropriate length to do whatever you need to do in life. So that's really where the balance comes in, is if you get too, if you hurt like hypermobile, or then you're going to run into problems where it's hard to hold tension in certain areas depending on the person. And then again, if you're too compressed, same thing, where you're going to start to have problems. So we're trying to find that balance of the push-pull to find that middle ground, which is what the body wants.
Exactly. You're trying to get balance. You're trying to get stability throughout movement is what it sounds like. You definitely want a balance of compression and decompression and a push and a pull balance in order for someone to move better, which moving better is the name of the game. That's what helps people get out of pain. And I think you've had some success stories of that, of people that have just been in pain for a long time because they moved a certain way. Once you start to correct those movement patterns, people start feeling better. It's not instant by any means. As anyone knows in the physical therapy world, there's no instant gratification. It takes a long time, especially for the fascial system to move around. Our muscular system is complex. What does a typical training program look like with you guys? You guys work one-on-one, or do you guys work in a group environment here? Anthony, go ahead. Tell me how people work with at Move Well.
Yeah, we're all we're appointment based. Eventually we'll get some classes going. We have a couple classes where some of our one-on-one clients will group together because they understand what we're doing. What was the question again?
More how you guys work with people. Why do you guys choose to work one-on-one? Is it to provide enough cueing and education in order for people to move better, or why do you not have 50 people come into class all as working as one?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, as we know, not everyone's body is the same. We all have our own issues, and yeah, there's a lot of, it's a big learning process. We're trying to reprogram the way people think about exercise and fitness, to not just think about muscles, but to think about using your fascia to work with your muscles, which will give you better movement overall.
And if I could say too,
yeah, go ahead, Chris.
It's a learning process for both of us. It's a learning process for the client that's coming in, because again, a lot of this is newer information that we're learning too. We're constantly learning and updating what we're doing. So it's for the client to get used to hearing different terms and being trained in a different way. Again, you're not going to come in here and just start cranking out squats and burpees and that sort of thing. But it's a learning process for us too, to get to know the client individually, because if we wouldn't feel like we're doing justice if you're coming in here and we just say, okay, yep, I kind of get your posture or whatever, and we just start taking you through things. So there's a lot, when he says learning curve, there's a learning curve of, we have fundamental movements that we'll always start people with, and we need the person to communicate what they're feeling or not feeling. because that's how it works. So if someone's going to come in and we're like, hey, did you feel it in this spot or this spot? And they're kind of like, I don't know, maybe. Then we're not communicating effectively to say, we're not going to get you where you need to go. So that's what we're talking about. Like, once both of us feel more comfortable, if you will, of getting to know each other, then it makes it a lot easier to communicate. And then the progress ramps up faster and faster the longer we train with someone.
That is so similar to exactly what I do. Yeah. And there's a few things I picked up on there is continuous learning. I picked that up from both of you guys. If you guys are always making sure you're learning something, making sure you're using principles from a whole different realm rather than just getting tied into just one. Certainly having an individualized plan with everyone. The human body is so complex, especially the muscular system alone is so complex. It's hard to have everyone do the same thing when people move so differently. And then the last piece that I feel very passionately about is, I'll call it specificity, or where you feel it is very important. Because someone could be doing an exercise or a movement pattern, and they're like, I don't feel anything here. It's like, this should be working X, Y, or Z. And if you don't feel it there, then we need to tweak something. We need to do something different. Which, I, from being in here and taking me through your training, I can totally see that's exactly what happens in each individual one-on-one session is... You guys are always working to improve the person you're working with. You have an individualized plan and you're being very specific. It's not a cookie cutter program where you bring the same 12 exercises for the same person that day. You did mention, Chris, there's some core movements you take everyone through. What does that look like to start? I'm guessing it's not bicep curls and tricep presses.
No. I mean, fundamentally, we'll always start with breathing and what we call the deep front line, which is... connected, as you'd imagine, like through the legs even, but up through like your transverse abdominis, your deep core, your diaphragm, your breathing, all the way up even to your tongue. So we want to make sure that we're aware of how we're training that and how efficiently you breathe. So that's a big piece to start, because think about, if I always use like a car analogy, right? If if a wheel is off, and I'm not a car guy, but if something's off, right, the car is not going to move go efficiently, right? You're going to run into trouble over time. So we want to make sure that the deepest part of your body is working efficiently, and then we kind of move out from there. And from there, we just kind of go from the center out. So when you're thinking legs, we have specific movements to make sure the glutes are predominantly moving you forward, because everyone knows we all struggle with glute activation in our society. And then same thing like with the upper body, the arm is going to swing actually with like the pec and the lat first. So we want to make sure in the gait cycle, that is, so we want to make sure that those are actually active in those patterns. To take an example of like a bench press, you can bench, maybe you feel it in the pecs, maybe you don't, but even if you feel it in the pecs, it doesn't mean it's translating to a rotational aspect of the thoracic spine. And actually the pec is helping move that arm forward through space. So it's just kind of one step at a time, saying, okay, does this body part work as you're walking? Okay, now does this, and then we just keep kind of going down the line and saying, okay, now does this connect to this? Does the bicep connect to the pec as you work? And so that's really how we do it. And again, everyone's different with different issues. If someone's coming in with a shoulder issue, we're going to address that first. If someone's coming in here with a back or knee issue, we're going to take more care of that. You know, so it's still... As we get back to, everybody gets their individualized plan, but that's what we're shooting for, is start in the middle and kind of work your way out.
And I feel like we all, as people that enjoy training, we've all had our training backgrounds as well, it takes us all time to get there, to value that. I think when we all start, we value muscle groups. We value biceps, we value pecs, we value quads and calves. We want the muscles group that makes us look the best. Absolutely. We all do the beach body workouts for a long time. And then eventually that doesn't fix all of our aches and pains. We're like, we have to have something else. Okay. Then we eventually, some people it's early in life, some people it's later in life. They come on to, how I move is just as important as what I do for movement.
Yes.
I think we both have one of our same mentors of Gary Gray saying, or Gray Cook saying, move well, move often,
yep,
and preferably in that order, right, if we can. Moving well is very important. Can we add breathing to the list of things that every functional human is doing, Anthony? I know we mentioned the gait cycle walking, running, throwing, is breathing in there? Because working on midline stabilization is out. How often do you guys work on breathing? Or is that more something you set up with breathing at the start of a movement and then go from there?
Are you referring to like how often do we have the client train?
Yeah, or no, like Chris was just talking about with talking about breathing and even stabilizing from the middle and then working our way out. Do you guys do much as far as breath work to change the fascia system?
Yeah, we'll teach our clients to learn how to elongate their spine by breathing. That'll be more like in the early sessions. Mm-hmm. And then as we carry on, yeah, through certain exercises, we'll even have people try to breathe into certain areas of their body to maybe open up a rib or open up certain areas to where it can become more elongated, decompressed, and yeah, basically using the breath to decompress the rib cage. And like Chris said, it connects all the way to your tongue. So even we'll even cue, you know, put your roof to the top of your palate.
Put your tongue to the top.
Tongue to the top of your palate. Yeah, that actually, that's funny. That just got brought up on one of my recent episodes with Allison Pete, who's actually a breathing coach here in Des Moines. Okay. That was one of her top three things we ended with was just resting jaw position is something most people struggle with. They have no clue. They stay clenched up. Their jaw is tight. Their neck is tight. They breathe with their rib cage instead of their actual diaphragm, which leads to so many issues, which we don't have to go down that rabbit hole. I think we already hit on a lot of really good subjects. So more as a recap, we talked about how you guys are different from being doing personal training for a long time and not getting the results you wanted. Yes, people lost weight. Yes, people got stronger, sure, but people weren't moving better. They weren't staying out of pain like you wanted them to. Therefore, you searched out something different, which led you towards the fascial system, which I won't bore people with what that actually is in the anatomy world, but it's how the whole body is connected. The whole body is connected through the fascial system. All of our muscle groups are all connected. How that all works as a unit. Our bones are all floating in between our muscles, and when something is compressed or something is loose or tight, can throw off the whole system. When those, over time, those asymmetries can lead people into pain. They can lead people to not move as well. So you guys really work to balance those and help people move better, which is different for every single person. If I'll let you, as I'm talking about the biggest things I took away from talking to you guys, I'll let you think of each of you maybe one or two things that you want everyone to know about MoveWell, but the things I took away is you guys are always looking to learn and get better at something. I also am very similar and took some things away from your guys' assessment into what I do from a movement analysis. You guys create individual plans with people for sure, and you're definitely very specific. You guys don't have fluff. There's not just stuff to do stuff. There's no just burpees just to do that. There's a reason for everything. And those are the top three things I took away. I'll start with you, Chris. A couple things that you want everyone to know about MoveWell and why they should check you guys out.
The biggest thing that we always talk about is this is for all humans. So I already forget if we discuss it throughout this podcast here, but we've worked with elite athletes at the high school and the collegiate level, made them faster, made them move better, and they continue to come back at the rate that they can. But we also train folks between their 50s up through their 70s. I have a gal in her early 70s who told me she trained with me before and said that I would never get her running. It's too late. Mm-hmm. And now she's jogging in here. She jogs with her dogs occasionally, pain-free, you know, that sort of thing. So we really want everyone to know that we can make a difference to each individual. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your goals are. We want to help, and we want that opportunity to show people what this is all about.
Yeah, we did not touch on that, so I'm glad you brought that up. Of the guys you work with, a whole range of people, from high school athletes to older adults in their 70s and plus, everyone has the right to move better. Anthony, I'll shift over to you. A couple things, and anything you want people to know about MoveWell and why they should check you out.
Yeah, I'd like to add that if you look at our social media, you might not see us doing back squats or deadlifts or a lot of those big traditional movements. Even though we're focused on the fascia, your muscles are still being trained with the movements. Your muscles are just learning to work together as a whole unit, so you become a more efficient mover. You learn to not overwork certain muscles and, again, distribute strain through the whole body. And when you learn to connect your muscles the way that they're meant to evolved or created to work in context of the gait cycle, they actually will, they'll work in more efficient ways to keep the body, I guess, what I'm looking for.
Chris is laughing at you the other end, but I understand. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but essentially becoming a more efficient mover. The body will work around, the body will take the path of least resistance always. You're working to take the more efficient path. Our brain is programmed to go the easy route, which generally leads us to pain in some ways. You're trying to get us the most efficient route to move better, which is what you guys do here on a daily basis. I will post it in the show notes. But as far as checking you guys out, I know you guys are active on Instagram and Facebook at MoveWell. You guys are posting pictures of people moving better, kind of before and after pictures of people in better postures. Individually, do you guys want to shout out where they can find you individually online as well? Anthony, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at AJMBACCAM, AJMBACCAM.
I'm on Instagram at cman movewell, so cman movell.
And I'll put all those in the show notes, so don't worry too much about being on there. But check out MoveWell. It's an awesome facility up here in Ankeny. Anthony, Chris, thanks for joining me. This was a ton of fun. And to everyone listening here, I appreciate everyone following along with the podcast. Until next time.
Hey, real quick before you go, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and would like to share it with others, please take a screenshot and share it to your story on Facebook or Instagram, and make sure to tag Rev Health and Wellness. To stay up to date on all of our latest episodes, be sure to follow Rev Health and Wellness on Facebook and Instagram.